okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Hey everybody, welcome. This is the Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Why don't you just tune in and welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Hey. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Hey. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Hey. I wouldn't be so unique. Hey. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yeah. I wouldn't live under a roof. And yeah. I wouldn't be up in this booth. And yeah. I wouldn't know he is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise him at the day that he rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these four cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't be cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed so without a doubt. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I talked to God, he said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they try to act like they never knew you. But the devil can't.
Hey everybody, here we are again for another When Christians Speak Talk Radio Bold and Beautiful podcast. As you all can see, I'm here with my lovely co-host around the corner. This is Reverend Novena. We got Reverend Curtis down at my bottom. I don't know what he looks like on your screen. Yes. And then we have two special guests. One is not a stranger to the podcast, and now she has her life partner. So we have Jamaica and Malcolm Carter here that we are so excited to catch up with. Jamaica, hear what's going on with them as a couple, and really just we're just going to chop it up and see where Jesus takes us today. I'm going to let my brother Curtis start us off with the first questions, and we'll just see where we go down the stream.
Amen. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. It is so good to see you two, my brother and my sister. You know, God has really have used you two in a very mighty way just to demonstrate what it looks like to walk the faith walk, you know, not just that, but have a like-minded person that stands beside you to actually push each other in the direction that God is calling you to, because I know on both sides, it's things that happen in both your lives. And I know that Jamaica, you had a ministry that was evolving at the same time, as well as a real estate vision. And Malcolm, I knew that you also too were had a vision for acting as well, right? So and if I missed anything else, you know, definitely throw all that out of what you were doing, what y'all have done in the midst of that. Tell us, like, you know, how life, you know, evolved and where you are now, because I know that you not just have ministry evolved, life evolved, doors open. You also have two new beautiful children to actually share this world with everyone else, and also to be very impactful in it. So just do tell.
Absolutely. Well, first off, thank you for having us. I'm the new person, I guess, on this podcast. I believe my wife has been here before. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity. And before we get into any answers, please, we get a little long-winded up here. You know, we've been in church for a long time, and sometimes we, you know, the spirit gets stirring. And you know, the tongue, you know how the tongue just goes, and you never know. It's just, you know,
hit us with one of
you
these.
Get stirred up. So if you, okay, you know, just give us a signal, okay, give us a sign, exactly, something, just, you know, let us know.
Cool.
No, certainly. I'm excited. We're excited to be here, clearly. And I'm looking forward to how the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. I always enjoy an opportunity to fellowship with like-minded Christians that would just let there be territory for God to be God. Because he's going to show up and show off.
Amen. Amen. So
I'm looking forward to how God is going to minister to all of us through this conversation and this virtual fellowship. Shout out to Zoom for making it possible.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And just what we'll all learn, because I know y'all have so much to just pull from what we're going to share and be like, oh, y'all, that's God right there. This, you know, so I'm looking forward to how y'all can bring some light to even parts that we're missing that is right in front of us, but since we're on a journey, you know, it's that walk by faith, not by sight thing. So let's get into it.
Absolutely. So Reverend Kirsch was saying, Jamaica, I'll start with you since you are the redoing this, you the remix, we having you on again. So from the last time we spoke, I know it was all about, you know, like financial investment. It was about really making sure that we were financially literate as Black people and as young entrepreneurs. So from that last conversation, like where has God led you in both like your personal and professional journey? And like, how do you feel like you got there? Or like, what has been that process for you?
He took all of it, but gave us each other. He took all of it.
He took all of it. It's altogether different.
I tell you, I don't know what spirit, what prayer was called on the last time I was with you all. Myself and my partner Jay showed up to talk about financial investment and real estate investing. And then God said, that's good. I'm glad you got that. But now let's get into the spiritual investments. Wow. But now let's get into you clinging to the cross. But now let's get into you building roots in a union and me being the foundation of those roots. So wow. Very quickly, like combined, we were earning well over six figures. And then God said, I'm gonna give y'all 10% of that. You know how we're supposed to give him 10%? He said, I'm gonna give y'all 10% of that. Oh, and then I want you to move across the country. Oh yeah. And since y'all did have a baby, you know, we were pregnant. I'll be transparent. We were pregnant. And I say we, because he goes through just as much as me. I carried a little, but he carried me, and I come with a lot. I'm not gonna act like I don't. Okay. I am very dependent on okay. Jesus. And so yeah, God, it was like he just stripped it so quickly, but in it, it felt so full, because not only did we have each other, but having each other, we both were leaning on Jesus. Like, we weren't trying to have the answers. It was right. Just like we would text each other every day, Matthew 6:25, do not worry. Like, we just kept texting each other that whenever a question would come up, we did not have the answer to, it was like, do not worry. So just to give a quick summary, in 2018, we got married. We moved to Los Angeles. And when we moved to LA, we did not have a set in stone apartment. We had a sublease that was solid for 2 months. We had 60 days in a sublease. Wow. We did not have jobs when we were moving. We did not have any immediate family. We had one family member there, which was Malcolm's godmother, which lived like an hour away from where we were going to be at in Los Angeles. And we were having our first child. Wow. So not only was our village, especially our parents, very disturbed. They were like, absolutely not. Where is this coming from? What do you mean you want to start your life and your family on the other side of the country? Are you running from us? Right. It was like, no, because Malcolm and I took some time prior to that and we fasted. And during a 21-day fast, we would just go into the prayer closet and just write down what God was revealing to us. And it was like the last few days of our fasting, we both were like, the spirit is telling us to move to LA, but make sure we're married before we move. Like, that was a whole thing. And at that time, financially, we were like, well, how are we gonna have a whole wedding? We looking at the account like, this ain't gonna add up. And we were already in counseling with our pastor from New mm-hmm. Bethel Baptist. Shout out to Pastor Nuttall. So we were in counseling for premarital, like premarital counseling. And we even did counseling before we were engaged, because we needed to be clear. Like, are you for me? Before yeah. I make this investment, are you for me? And then like through that, our pastor was like, this is, you know, this seems kind of quick. Well, we were like, we feel led by the Lord to get married. You know, I know the world dresses up all these other things that have to go into it. And I'm not knocking the bridal showers and the big bang weddings, but I do believe God just honors two people that are making a commitment to him and letting him be the solid binding and being the root of that union. Amen. So we got married.
Yeah.
And then what?
Well,
then y'all left me at Pop 44, at 514. Like, am I really leaving? Like, I was like,
no, right?
No, don't go. But I understood. I mean,
we just started growing too. Like, yeah. our friendship. Yeah.
Yeah, because like it was like, basically, you know, I met you at Mike, that was running for state's attorney's office. Mike's house, and then I got a chance to meet Malcolm at the house that you all had redid uptown. Mm-hmm. And then like it was like we were all like you were just getting close at the time. And I was like, no, I got a new brother and a little sister. Y'all take no.
I know.
But yeah. Definitely I admired how could I say the confidence to do it that what you both did, you know, and how y'all did it, you know, because at that stage, you know, I can only imagine the fear. That might have also, or the anxiety might have been there. So from both of y'all, you know, like Malcolm, how did you, like, as a man, you now you have a wife and your mm-hmm. wife, you know, she's with child and everything. And like, cause I know that you are, you know, you are a lover of Jamaica, you are a protector of it, you are a leader, you are a strong man. So how did you feel as a man of God? I know that, you know, you heard God right. But it was anything that you wanted to share, like, hey, God, you really moving me like this? Like, what? How did you feel at that moment?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I think just to add on to the way my wife beautifully laid it out, there were some obstacles in the way too. You know, we got married before we left, but it was a process for that to happen. Our pastor initially didn't want to marry us, like at the time frame that we wanted to get married, because he thought it was too quick. And he thought that we were rushing into this. And especially knowing that we had plans to pick up and move to the other side of the country, you know, it was that logical part of him that was saying, I care for these people and I don't want to see them end up in a situation where they're moving too fast and then things don't work out marriage-wise because of that. And I don't want them struggling to the point where Jamaica decides that this isn't for me, or Malcolm decides this isn't for me, and they go their different ways mm-hmm. Because of money or because of, you know, just the difficulty of the situation that they're in. So that was a prayer too. That was like, we're not sure what he's going to say, how it's going to work out, but we got to pray about this and just trust that if God has this for us, then the answer will be yes. Then we will be able to get married before we leave. And ultimately, I believe that God did speak to his heart and he allowed mm-hmm. us to be married, or at least he married us before we were able to leave. Another big thing too was, we didn't tell our family that we were pregnant before we moved. So thankfully,
never doing that again.
It was a whole debacle. It was a whole situation. But thankfully, we did not have to deal with the pressure or the anxiety, whatever could have come from that conversation of, whoa, you guys are pregnant and you're moving across the country. Wait, and you don't have jobs and you don't have somewhere to live? No. Y'all staying with me. So we didn't have to go through that situation, although we did face some backlash from it and it wasn't pretty. But it was a situation where we just felt like we had to protect our peace. You know, we felt like this was already something that was kind of crazy. It seemed crazy. It was crazy to us to be able to pick up and move across the country, not have any jobs, not have a house secure more than 2 months, and we're about to have a child. So I think I did feel that pressure just as a man. And I know that this narrative is pushed so very often when it comes to us men about being providers, about making sure that we are the ones making sure our wife is covered and they have, you know, that they have everything that they need. I think, because I've been so used to hearing that narrative too, you know, God gives all of us a measure of faith. And thankfully, he's given me the measure of faith where I don't have to subscribe just to that and say and feel as though the burden is on me and me alone. Because I think as men, sometimes we do that. We internalize that and be like, okay, the burden is on me and me alone to handle mm-hmm. this, as if God is not behind me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? So if I'm in a situation where I have to take a faith journey and I don't know how something's going to work out, yeah, I'm the provider, but God is also my provider. Right, so he's gonna make sure it's covered. And he just showed us signs to let us know that this trip cross country was covered. We've got a check in the mail for the amount. It was the amount of the rent that we needed for the 2 months to stay there, and that alone
from the IRS. When they start sending a surprise check,
it came from the Treasury. I was like, wait a minute,
Treasury.
Yeah, it was like the U.S. Treasury.
Like, we had already paid our taxes because at that point, we were entrepreneurs, so we were paying them. They weren't paying us.
It was not an unexpected check.
It's like God shows up, and speaking to the point that, babe, that you made about being a provider, and look, sister, I told you I depend on my man and Jesus, so I'm never upset when he's the one with the bag, honey. I know everybody, you know, feminism and all that. I'm like, I'm okay with him being on the front lines. I don't know what y'all talking about. I will gladly pray and fast. I will gladly pray and fast and let him do what needs to be done. But on the other tip, what I've always, like, my heart's desire, because I grew up seeing the men in my family, like, go to work hard, sometimes two jobs overnight, and it's not a bad thing, because, you know, the, like, the home and the food was there. But that, just as a young girl, I always felt there's a lack of, like, just communication, intimacy, softness, even affection. Like the work of God, affection, even seeing the work of God in a man. So for me to, like, have Malcolm as a partner where he is doing whatever is necessary for us to have those material things, but he do even more was necessary for me to have, like, that spiritual covering, that encouragement. I know a lot of women, especially having children, we had 2 kids in 2 years, they go through, like, postpartum, or they just feel like, how can I do this? And we had 2 kids across country, and all of our family is on the East Coast. We in LA. I have never in the 3 years of us having kids and being married felt like I'm doing this by myself. Like, I'm just ready. Like, I thankfully, by his grace and my husband's covering and God's goodness, I didn't go through the postpartum, like, depression, because I always had so much support and attention. He's like, what you need? How can I help you? What, you know, like, it was always that. So I believe that even us moving, which was hard, it wasn't like this easy thing. I know it sounds real easy when we're telling the story because we got a short amount of time. But it was a moment by moment, like, God, I need a sign. God, look, you better send a raven. Like, come on, feed me like Elijah. I know what you do. I know what you do at Brook. I know what you do. You know, I repeat his word back. And he would constantly just do ways. Like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. So what I'm getting even from this question is just, like, reminding me, even in this new season that we're in, where we don't know, you know, like, at the moment, our mother has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and we're back in Maryland. All our things are still in LA, you know, still, like, paying for all that comes with, like, having a home. But we just have to believe that what we need for this season, he'll provide. Yes. Like, this is easy stuff for him. Like, ask and keep on asking if you need to. that's his character. He cannot change. Like, that's just who he is.
Well, it brings me back to what your branding, but it's faith is a currency, right? And like, it's really like, you know, like, y'all are embodying that particular slogan. You know, faith is my currency, you know, so whatever I need and wherever I need to go, God's gonna foot the bill. You know, and as far as, like, hearing, you know, how you said Malcolm was towards you during that time of you know, having the children and when you were there, I saw that when I first met him. I was at peace when I first met Malcolm, you know what I'm saying? Because I just knew you couldn't just have anybody, you know. And the thing that I saw first and foremost was y'all friendship. That's the first thing I saw was y'all friendship, you know, because you're a comedian as it is, you know, people don't know that about you. So, like, when I saw y'all friendship, and that really showed me, like, his sincere care for you, you know what I'm saying? So it was definitely a blessing to meet him. Now, to that point of faith is the currency, right? Tell us how y'all spent that currency while y'all was in California.
Well, it's still going. It's still being
still
spent.
On that currency.
First of all, faith is my currency is annoying sometimes too, if I'm being honest.
Can we be real?
Faith is my currency gets on your nerves sometimes when you have to be like, well, wait a minute. How are we gonna pay for the bills next month again? And what where do we have we don't have anything to put towards these what? Oh so it's God. Like, you know, sometimes it's building us up in a way that I know that we're gonna appreciate so much. Yes. In a later season.
Yes.
And I know that we both have that foresight to understand that. Sometimes though in the present,
yeah,
we're just like it just gets under your skin mm-hmm. so much because you want things to just be comfortable.
Yeah,
like,
convenient.
especially when you get used to things being uncomfortable in a sense, like you're just in these seasons where it just seems like it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. And you're like, when is this going to change? When is this going to turn around? You know, you start to crave those moments. And especially when you see other people, I know that we like to tell ourselves, you know, that we can't compare ourselves to anybody else. And we're not supposed to look at somebody else's situation, look at their blessings. But again, another moment of just being real, when you see other people, and they have stable positions and they, you know, they're able to go out and just spend how they want to spend and do what they want to do. Like, you just have those moments at times where you're
absolutely.
Like, hey, like, you know, I wish I could just go out and just
right.
get a drink or go out and get, you know, get something to eat and treat myself and do this and do that. Right. And it's not to say that we don't have moments where we aren't able to do that sometimes, but it's just, not always as convenient as we would like it to be. So that's something that we've had to
adjust.
especially with y'all being so young and y'all were so established before mm-hmm. you took that faith journey, so you know how it feels to be relatively comfortable and you're educated about how to use your money, or you're educated in all the things that it takes to be married, but it's you had to put your faith into action, you know?
Yeah.
And you know that it's not going to always be this way, but just walking it day by day by day, it can be challenging. But even in my life, when I look back, I remember my late 20s and my early 30s. And then even in my 40s, it was different seasons of life. Mm-hmm. But all of it prepared me for the season I'm in now.
Come on.
And I was doing a devotional today about the foundation. And what you guys are building is a very, very, very firm foundation, not just for yourself, but for generations to come.
Thank you.
You know, because some people, it looks like it's very easy for them to, okay, yeah, like I can tell one part of my testimony saying I did this by the age 25, by 30, I had this and all this material type stuff would make make my testimony that's taken over 20, 30 years to build, I can bring it down to 5 minutes. However,
right,
it still took 30 years to walk that out.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think it is what you guys have already said is like super encouraging. I think that in a time, especially now where everything it seems like it's microwave. We want it right now. We want instant success. We want a million followers and then $1 million to go with the 1 million followers.
Now.
Yes.
It is important now. To see that sometimes you have to, one, step out on what God is saying, no matter if anybody else hears it. Like, because sometimes you're the only person and nobody else around you, people who you trust and you love and who are your spirit, all of those things, but you the only one hearing it like that. Like, I think I hear you, but they saying they gonna put me up for free for a year. So, do you know what I mean? So that's super encouraging that you all took that leap, right?
Because together,
you know what? I'm gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay here. where it's comfortable, where people love us,
yeah.
and you know, get some resources, and they go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
so that is important for people to hear that
yes.
you don't always have to, and you have to know where you are. Like, one, you have to know where you are.
Know where you are.
Know God's voice and mm-hmm. that you hear him, right? We don't want you just all of a sudden not hear a voice and it ain't Jesus. So
that's right. Who is it?
Okay.
Yeah,
but when you have that foundation and when you have that intimacy with God that you can step out by yourself, because a lot of times we go back to like, you know, testimonies in the Bible, you know, like, you know, the Israelites in the wilderness, but we need some like right now testimony.
Right now.
I picked mm-hmm. up and moved across the country.
Now faith is.
Without, you know, and, you know, married and pregnant and I didn't have nothing, but God said it. So we did it and we're here. And that is really encouraging. One of the things I wanted to know about where you are now and like even dealing with like the sickness of your mom and stuff is, do you feel like especially because I mean, not only are you doing this now, but like a lot of stuff has happened in the world since you all are having
yes,
this.
Right.
Absolutely.
You've been shut down, COVID, you know, there's been social unrest and all that
yes.
kind of stuff. And so do you feel like or let me phrase it like this, how do you feel God has been speaking to you in the midst of both going through like this very personal stuff in this transition as well as the stuff that's been happening globally? Like, what has that felt like to you as a yes. Dealing with COVID, dealing with like the social unrest? Like, how did that hit you guys, especially not being with your families and being across the world?
Yeah, I know. What really helps me just be reminded that not only this too shall pass, but also God gonna get the glory. It's reading the Bible. Nothing is new. That's what it tells us in Ecclesiastes. Like, nothing is new right, under right. the sun. You know, even when it comes to homosexuality, like there were whole cities he had to burn down and flood because of that. Even when it comes to, you know, like the social unjust, that's the reason that the Israelites had to be freed from captivity, because that's what it was. Like, it was social injustice. And just because of what they represented, those that had the legal power, the law, were mistreating them. You know, so none of this is new to God.
And that's right.
For me as a person, I really just have to stop trying to make sense of people. Because the same way God is wanting to get the glory and be himself and do what he does, the same way the enemy gonna come to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. So what am I going to give attention to? Both of us do listen or watch the news every day, but we both have that barometer where it's like, okay, let's turn this off. Like, mm-hmm. it's been a little too much, because I do believe as Christians, I know some people, they completely just tune out what's going on. But we have weapons of warfare. Like, we are the ones that can use our authority and our tongue to decree and declare what will not come to pass according to God's will and what will come to pass according to God's mm-hmm. will. So I do not think it's wise as Christians to just be like, oh, forget media and I'm not going to involve myself in what people are doing. We are called to go out and to bring people to his feet. Now, everything else, that's his job. I'm not dealing with the rest of it. You know, he enjoys that part of human resources. But I know we are the recruiters. You know, we the field workers. Yeah. So right. We have to go and do our job. And then just coupling that, not only what's going on, excuse me, I'm in the world, but also in our immediate ecosystem with right. our family. One of the major blessings that has come from being a caregiver for our mother is being a caregiver for our mother. Like, of course, it's unfortunate to like see your parents go through that stage of illness or even aging, because sometimes it's not them being sick, it's just seeing them lose hair. You know, it's like the sunroof open, like, dad, you gonna ball up there, take some castor oil, or it's like, or you know, mama just can't hang like she used to. She passing out at 8 p.m. I'm like, you used to be up till like she's tired. So something that has really blessed us is to like render unto them what they've given to us. Now that we're parents with a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, it's like, I can only imagine what I put you through when I was a child.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a blessing to be able to care. But for me personally, because it's my mom that's been diagnosed, mm-hmm. it's been a blessing to put my faith to work, like to be on and even to like together to like pray on her behalf, to just serve her, for her mm-hmm. to see because we moved away when a lot of our faith got real and got tested and started to stretch. So for my mother to witness our faith as a couple has been such a blessing. And I'm so grateful that she has the heart to call it out. Like, wow, I love how y'all just support each other. I love how y'all really like tag team with the kids. You know, like, I love how neither one of y'all have this steady traditional job, but yet and still, like, I don't ever hear y'all argue about money. I don't hear y'all like going back and forth. Y'all still doing a budget, even if it's negative. It's like, well, we gotta know what to ask for. But, and that's the thing too, you know, speaking about faith being our currency, I know that some of us will get discouraged when we don't have enough money. I struggled with that like in the beginning. And God was like, well, still use what I taught you. Just because you feel like you don't have the resources, use what I taught you. Mm-hmm. And so we make it our duty every time, you know, it's the top of the month or we get that big check from whatever, like real estate deal, or whatever miracle money God sends, because he sends miracle money. We always write out where every penny gonna go. First is tithe. And then it's like, what's priority? Sometimes it all gets covered, sometimes it doesn't. But just for us to know, how was that going? That like helps our communication just stay so solid and our trustworthiness to know that we ain't gonna squander it. You know, like we gonna do it done. And so it's just really been a major blessing to have our family witness a lot of the work only God has been doing while we've been counseling us and training us up and pruning us, because he's been ridding that spirit of having joy and peace because of circumstances. You know, I know Paul says, for I've learned to be content whether it's good or bad. Okay,
come on.
And then what I didn't realize until I really started studying the word was the scripture that follows that is the one we all love to use, because I could do all things.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's like, right. we don't ever talk about what came before that.
Come on.
Before that word. Yeah.
Come on.
What came before that is him being real about his flesh. Yes. Like, in my flesh, I really don't feel it, but I have to choose to be content.
Yeah.
Because whether it's good or bad, I gotta know it's God that's seeing me through.
Yes.
I gotta know it's God that's seeing me through bad. Like, God is this. He's the goat. He's the goat.
I can hear one of the purposes why you all moved to California. But individually, right? So when you moved to California, Malcolm and Jamaica, right? When you were going, because that was an Abraham and Sarah type of moment, you know what I'm saying? And I will show you, you know? So at that point, like, as far as like when you got there, how soon did you begin to realize why God sent you individually? Because I'm quite sure that he was showing you both something.
That's a great question.
I love that question. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think we're still learning about why he sent us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've uncovered the complete answer as to why we've been sent to California, but we have learned some things along the way.
Yes.
And just to kind of preface the whole jump to California thing, we both had a desire to move to California. Before we had started to get together and pray and all of that, like, I was born in Cali, and I lived there for like 2 months of my life. So, you know, I have no claims, no rights to be like, I'm from Cali, I'm from, you know, so-and-so, this town, whatever, look me up, blah, blah. I couldn't do any of that. But I moved when I was 2 months, and my family was there for a little while. And it's interesting because, and my mom and dad, it's kind of like a full circle thing, because my mom and dad moved out to California from the East Coast when they were pregnant and had some kind of, you know, reluctancy from the family to do that, because my dad had a position out there and he really wanted to move out there. And so there was some hesitancy, but they ended up moving while they were pregnant. So that just being, and it wasn't like, oh, I wanted to follow in my parents' footsteps. Right. It just kind of,
evolved.
It just took form. So I was just like, wow, like just thinking about that, is interesting how God puts that into place. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think I missed track of what were we?
No. So
where are we getting from?
Yeah, I mean, basically, how soon did you realize why God sent you out there. And I definitely heard, because you kind of, because I heard it and I see it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say this and then let y'all finish, because so what I heard was, you know, definitely that God sent you to stress your faith, but to also put you in a position where total reliance rested on him. And he's still cultivating that. But at the same time, as he's cultivating that, he's also preparing you for what he's going to give you.
Yes.
Yeah. And when he does give it to you, and you said something, Jamaica, you won't squander it. Mm-hmm. Because what he's going to give you is going to change generations. What he's going to bless you with is going to support more than you can even imagine. So where you at right now is really going to, he's really doing something right now where when he invests with what he has for you, that it's going to be so, you're going to be in a place where your humility will be the same. Yes. And your information, your understanding, and your direction will be so clear that people will be able to follow your pattern. And
you better preach.
Come on. Yes. That's it.
Jesus. Definitely. Holy Ghost. I see it and I hear it, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I love your I love your honesty, babe. I'm sorry. No, go ahead, girl.
Oh, and the other thing is how you're honoring your mother. That's an awesome thing. And she gets an opportunity to see God's word in action.
Thank you.
And I joke with my mom, because I'm also a caregiver to my mom. And we joke and kid, because she's still that same girl on the inside. And it really hurts me to see her suffering like she is. But her spirit, man, what I'm seeing is that word, her spirit, man, is so alive. And he tells me, although her outer man is failing, her inner man is steadily being renewed day by day. So watching you and your family, not just you and your husband, but you and your family, mm-hmm. And she knows exactly where you've been and where you came from, you know? And to see all this life in the midst of what she's physically going through and all this love, yes,
Flora.
You know, it has to be just filling her heart, you know, with contentment. Because we all know, none of us going to get out of here alive. But just the things that we see, we witness, is such a blessing. Just to see the two of you right here together. I mean, like people say, a sight for sore eyes. I understand that now, because it fills my heart with such joy just to see such beauty. And it's not so much your physical appearance, but just the love that you share, you know, the respect and honor that you, and to be young people, because we hear all this chatter about young people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is not good, because that's what's getting all the attention. But I tell you, you make people stop and say, there's something different about them. But aren't they? And didn't they? Yep, mm-hmm, sure did. But they're watching God's word in action. And that's an awesome thing. You're his witnesses, his disciples. You're disciplined as you walk, as you're following Christ.
Thank you.
So if anybody wants to know your next encouragement.
I was about to say, one time in encouragement. When I tell you the way y'all are ministering to us, it's just so on time. It's not, it's been a minute since we've done anything like this. I feel like maybe a year or so. So it's always like therapy for us.
But y'all been kind of busy with them babies.
It has been fruitful, you know, the Lord's will is being done.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know what's funny though? So a couple of weeks, well, it might have been a month by now. So I'm living in this era right now, right? And this era is kind of, and I was playing the era. So, but one day I was sitting here. So I've been, for a minute I was pump faking with the trucking company and everything. Not pump faking, especially not now after holding my son. But God said to me, he said, CJ, just because the conditions are not perfect doesn't mean it ain't perfect timing. So he was basically letting me know, don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry about what you don't have. Just know what I said and follow through, right? Mm-hmm. And So I ended up turning to a word. And one of the things was, one of the points in that word was I used when Peter was on the boat and he had to step out. So he says, will you take the step that no one else will? Will you take the step when no one else will? The other was when the men that were paralyzed, the man was paralyzed, his four friends took him through because they couldn't get him into Jesus. It says, what innovative way have I given you to change the narrative or to change this the environment or change what you're doing, the industry that you're going into? So, you know, the thing is that like that's what era I'm in right now. The conditions may not be perfect, but it is perfect timing. So I say that, you know, just like listening to your story and knowing that you picked up, the conditions weren't perfect, but it was perfect timing for God, because what God did was that God put the check. he said from the treasury, right? He said, listen, that belong to me. That don't
unlikely sources. Y'all.
You know what I'm saying?
Unlikely sources.
I remember when I ain't had no money to pay the lawyer fast on and off for 2 weeks straight. The IRS contacted my mother, told her they owe her $8,000. So when you said it, I was like, look at you, you're doing it again. Do it again, Lord. You know, so
do it again, Lord. Now,
then you said, y'all get miracle money. Miracle money.
What miracle things, it's man? Miracle money.
Miracle money. One of the things in our church is we say finding money. You know what I'm saying? Because money finds you. But listen.
Right, like, find me.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, blessings will overtake you.
It's just like yes, God is just in this place where, so God is showing you that, I mean, showing all of us, you know, that no matter what the circumstances may look like, that I'm still a God of perfect timing. And I just believe that even with this scenario that brought you back to Maryland, that is so much wrapped into it. That's going to blow all of our minds how once we hear that part of the testimony and how it all unfolds, right? But I'm just in that era myself that the conditions may not be perfect, but it's perfect time. So I'm just capitalizing off everything God has shown me. I had somebody call me today, and I'm going to be quiet. I had somebody call me today and ask me, said, listen, if I buy a truck and give it to you, can I make some money off of it from you? Like, people coming to me now, they want to buy a truck for my
finding you.
You know what I'm saying? So like
wow,
it's just
come
like
on, Jesus.
Like God, if I don't hear God no louder than that, you know what I'm saying? You know,
he's right. Yeah.
Get out the boat. Let's go.
I think that's something that we have learned over and over and over again when it comes to just being aligned with the will of God, is that things will find you. You don't have to go out and find it. That's not to say that there won't be circumstances where you have to put your foot forward and do something, but
he's a father.
When it's his will, he will line things up in such a way where it's, oh, okay, I know I'm supposed to step in this direction. I'm supposed to open this door. I'm supposed to go through, I'm supposed to talk to this person. And just going back to the question that you asked before, just about us moving to California and, you know, what we felt like we were learning, if I had to sum that up into just one sentence or one phrase, it's that God wanted us to know he's our provider.
He's our provider.
And it was just on point with what you were saying, just surrendering to his will, just being in complete submission to him. And we're still learning how to do that. But we have had countless moments where we just did not know how something was going to work out, how something was going to get paid for. And if had we been on the East Coast, had we been so close to family, had we been so close to comfort and having a babysitter when we wanted it, and when we needed it, that we wouldn't have known that we can so severely lean on God the way that we've had to. We wouldn't know how much of a helper he is to us. We wouldn't know that you don't have to pick up your phone and make a call if God has told you that he's going to supply something for you. That doesn't mean that
God told me.
You don't have to press a button. Somebody is going to reach out to you. Like, somebody's going to show up on your doorstep. Somebody's going to be like, hey, you know what? I don't know why. We never had a conversation about this, but the Spirit just told me to send this to you.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't know my rent was due tomorrow. What?
Yeah.
Wait, how much? How much? Specific amounts, specific amounts to the dime have been sent to us in order for things to be taken care of. We had no conversations. We reached out to no one during some of these situations. Like, God has shown us that with just in obedience to him, in submission to him, and of course it's his grace too, because we're not perfect. We still make mistakes. We still mess up. We still fall out of line. And he's still just, he's just, the grace that he's supplied is just, is out of this world. So if anything we've learned is he's our provider.
He's our provider. He's a father and he's friend and he's a friend. And he likes us to have fun too. I think that although it does come with its aches and pains of waiting, let's not act like waiting is always fun. Mm-hmm. But it also comes with the joy of the unexpectancy of it, like the way it shows up, how it shows up, knowing who allowed it to show up. And it's just such a blessing. And I'm so grateful to just have this conversation with y'all. So not only can we give God the glory and just activate our faith on a whole nother level. This is like shrimp conditioning. I feel like we just did like a benchmark assessment with y'all just to track some things because he's always doing something new to level up. I mean, to Sierra, you know, she got her thing popping. He's like, you're going to level up too.
Absolutely.
You're going to level up in me. So Jordana, I know that you have been taking it all in. You were so patient, but honey, you are a faith walker. And I need whatever fruit the Spirit is downloading in you right now.
You know what? The one thing I just, it's been in my mind for a couple of minutes. So, and this is a question I'm going to ask you, but I hear dare to dream. So I want to know what you guys have been dreaming about. Like, I just feel like you need to vocalize it. So what are we dreaming about?
Hmm. Okay. We've written that out already. Debt-free.
Let's get into it.
Investment properties, a home for ourselves.
And we already know all the finishes at home. We need a backyard. We need a driveway that curves around. You know, we like to see driveway. We need to make sure we have at least minimum 3 bedrooms, 2 additional rooms. We want to make sure that we're paying the down payment in cash.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
We know. Look, you're going to write
the first line. I know. Yeah, I'm real specific.
I'll write the first line and she'll be drawing bullet points under it and just, okay, you know, this is so, I'm glad that she lays those things out. But yes.
Another big dream is that Malcolm will have a lead role on a pilot series, which means like it's an introductory show on a TV show. Mm-hmm. And I would like it to run for a minimum 5 years. You know, I want 5 seasons. I want him to have a lead role and I want it to be a TV show located in Los Angeles.
That's awesome. You have these desires.
Oh yeah, honey. I'm excited. I told y'all
See how she took my dream. She said, I would want this to be, five max, you know, like.
Yes.
And another big dream that we have is to have annual couples trips. They're like spiritual retreats for couples.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just ministering the word to couples, really giving like biblical teaching and fun activities to nurture the need for God as the core of marriages.
That's beautiful.
We already got the healing for my mama, so I'm like, he's already doing that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and in wholeness in our families, you know, with every family it comes with, we're people,
right?
And so it comes with its rifts, but both sides of our family, we just want wholeness in a way where we just naturally want to come together, not just for holidays and birthday parties, but just like, just because it's Sunday, let's link up. So just that communication. So healing, reconciliation, unity, and wholeness.
She heard it, you know, and believe me, that's, you already know, you asked the right question to my sister up there too, because you know, there's been times where I'd be sitting in front of her and then I'd be like, yeah, I'm talking to so-and-so. That's not her. And I'd be like, okay, all right, okay. I'll be like, but no, that's not her.
I'm like, hey, what is your spirit telling you? I need all of that. Okay.
Right. But so listen, dare to dream. It's coming your way. It's coming your way. Yes, it's coming. It's coming. All this is just preparation for God to finish doing what he's doing. Like, even the leading back to Maryland. it might, you know, I look through scripture all the time where it looked like you're going somewhere for one event, but it really was a setup to get you to another event.
That part.
You know? So, I mean, I see it. And then the gifts that's already on you both, you know what I'm saying? That's on you both and how they complement one another, you know? So it's just, it's coming. I can't wait to see the explosion of blessings on blessings on blessings and people.
Okay.
Y'all had that type of life where you know, when people get to that pinnacle of where God has already showed them and you know, you pray for them, you looked at it, and they be like, yeah, but y'all already got that. Y'all don't understand that I struggle. You'd be like, hold up. You see the now. Let me tell you the backstory.
Hello.
Yeah.
We record every testimony. Yeah. I don't know if God's gonna put it in a movie, in a show, in a book, or a part of a whole like minister series, but it will. It is being recorded. We are pulling His receipts because God's handprint is in every area of our life, in every season of our life, and we do not want to forget. Because you know the mind gonna do what it's gonna do, especially when seasons are coming and you're growing.
Yeah.
But like, we don't ever want to forget. Like, He did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think as a society too, sometimes we get so caught up in what material blessings come our way, or what prosperous season we'll find ourselves in, or even when we've kind of made it to the point where we felt like we've arrived at this state, and whatever that is, whatever those desires are. I think something that our move to California has taught us, and especially Curtis, when you were talking about how, you know, you think, you know, something is happening one way and it ends up being another way. You know, one of the reasons I didn't say we moved out, you know, I was moving out to be an actor, my wife was moving out to do real estate and all of this stuff, is because, you know, that couldn't be further from the reality that we've witnessed since we've been there. Yes, we do have those desires, but I heard someone, I think it was like an actress, remember, Molly from HBO. I think she was talking about Yvonne. Sorry, the lady that plays the character Molly on the HBO show Insecure. She says something that really hit me one day, and she said that I believe her pastor told her that, you know, will God's blessings, you know, you some people want to have God's blessings, but don't understand that you know, they don't want God's blessings to. Is God's blessings going to have you? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Basically. So are you going to have God's blessings, or God's blessings going to have you?
Yeah.
And that hit me sometimes, because we get so caught up in our desires. We get so caught up in what we want and what we're seeking from God that we miss God and all of that, you know? Yeah. And it's like, when we finally get it, we realize it's not enough. It's not going to keep the train going. It's not going to sustain us. And so if anything, I think that this journey has taught us that God wants, he wants us to have all these things, but He wants our hearts.
Yeah.
And once He has our hearts completely, all those things it's nothing. It's nothing right. for Him to do it. Right. Because He knows that we're not attached to that.
Yeah.
We're attached to Him. So that's what I feel like we're learning in this season.
Yeah.
At the forefront.
Yeah, I was just looking at my phone while Malcolm was speaking, because the scripture that came to my mind was to take delight in the Lord. And I'm like, is it Psalm 34:37? But it's Psalm 37:4, where He says, you know, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And for so long, I've always just thought that of, oh, as long as I love Jesus, I'm gonna get what I want. And the more I read it and study it, the spirit recently, especially through this present season of just caregiving and being in a familiar, but us being new in a familiar territory. So we approach things differently. Right. It's that scripture means something completely different. I love His word, because it does not change, but it changes us. It's
all like, the time.
Okay.
All the time.
It's like so,
yes.
Like, what, this can only be written by the Father. Like, what? And yes, He used vessels to write it, but it only was given. Okay, another word, another day. So take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And now God is telling me, when I'm your desire,
yes,
then all your delight is full. You know, like, yes, it's not about the actual material things, because then you're not feeling high and mighty when things are high, and you're not feeling, does he love me? Is he punishing me? When truly I'm just pruning you. So it's just take delight in the Lord. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember definitely for me, a season where, and it's so funny how God, he takes you through seasons and he allows you to be in those seasons. And there's like no judgment in, like, you know, just come deeper. Well, you know, you'll let that stuff go. You'll see this more than that. Cause I know for a while I was really chasing after. There was a season where I was seeing like people get healed, and like people were like, random people was prophesying over me. I went to go buy a car. This man prophesied over me. I was like, what, Jesus? And so, but there was a time where then that became my focus. It was all about like healings and prophesying for me. And I was like really focused on that. And God was like, okay, now that's good. And it's fine to seek those things, but like, there's more. Like seek the giver and the creator of those things, not the things itself. And not that those things are bad.
Right.
Healing is not bad. Prophecy is not bad. Blessings are not,
right.
You know, money is not bad, but it is when I am your source, no matter times where there is famine or times where there is
good.
It doesn't matter, because you're always fulfilled.
Yes.
You're always fulfilled. So even though like I ain't got props that over in a minute, and I'm like, okay, because you know I'm in a different place, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that I heard for you guys was the matrix. I feel like there, like whatever, wherever God is going to have you, or wherever it's going to look like, and it might even start now, it is going to be, you're going to have the ability to open people's eyes, right? They were once sleeping. They once thought that they were, you know, living life and in a world, but they find out that they were in the matrix. And part of what your gifting will be to show them what freedom really is.
Yes. Yeah.
And
that's
my
favorite movie. That's his favorite movie.
Yeah. Yeah. When I tell you that movie, it's like chock full of like spiritual.
Favorite movie. It is. It is. That's why it's one of my favorite movies. A lot of people, I'm sure, don't know that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chocked full of God all up and through that movie. All up and through that movie. But yeah, I just feel like that is
thank you.
Jesus. And you may even, if you look back, you may even see it. It may not, because you know, I think a lot of times we also, when we say like the word ministry, it's like, oh, we have to set up something, it has to be a foundation, you have to have a name for it.
You are encouraging me right now so much, because I have straight away, you know, we meet, whether new or familiar people, and they're like, y'all just got something, y'all need a ministry, a church. And I'm like, God knows I have no desire about being in the same place for longer than like 2-3 years.
Yeah, it does not.
But I thank you for that, because ministry in motion, okay?
Ministry in motion, I love it. Yes.
It is wherever you are, whether you out to get some carry out and you see somebody, and you say something, like you don't even
thank you.
I think and you may not even understand like the impact that you've already had, is just that your presence is going to be something that sets people free.
Yes.
Right. And sometimes you will see the fruit of that immediately, and sometimes just your presence in a place, like wherever you find yourself in your four worlds right now will be that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Amen.
Yes. I'm so glad y'all spend time with God when nobody looking. Okay.
And another thing that I heard earlier was holding on to your peace. You know, as y'all were making that journey and setting everything up for the journey to California, you were holding on to your peace. And that, I don't care what season you are in life, what age you are in life, it is critical to hold on to your peace, and because it permeates to other people. Because I feel your peacefulness, even if the things that you're saying and having to wait on God and depending on that miracle money, and dependent, especially when you know how to generate that money and how to add it up and subtract it, but you still counting on, that's right. And he knows this, God knows this, you know it, Malcolm, and she knows it. But both y'all know that.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is the source of all of it.
Yes.
And still having, especially because of that, you have your peace. And it's not the peace that we conjure up. It's the peace of God that he's given, you know? Mm-hmm. And you so graciously accept. Because like you say, some people, sure, we know that, you know, the covering and the order, but you also say we're in alignment with God. And he is our provider. So you know that although Jamaica is saying she's, you know, she's counting on not just you, but counting on you and God and her together, that three strand core.
Yes. You know?
And people are witnessing it. And it's such a blessing. It is truly a blessing. Without you even preaching a sermon, your life is a sermon.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Definitely.
Y'all how y'all have loved on us. I have one last question.
Okay.
So just like grabbing hold of what all three of you just said, just encouraging us, pulling so much from what we've shared and what you've witnessed. How do you, because I want to act like I have the answers to this. It's still a daily prayer. How do you crush the parts of your flesh that seem like natural talents and abilities, but God is not ordering you to activate them? He's like, no, cling to me. Like, I know you can do that in your human power, but stop it. So what is like a scripture, or what is like just a mental process that you go through? If anybody or all of y'all can speak to it, like, please help me.
Who wants to go first?
I don't really. Oh, you go ahead, Curtis.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I go. I'm going through it. Okay, going through it.
I hear you.
What I am going through right now, right, is understanding that sometimes we focus on the thing that we're trying to fix, and what. I am finding personally is God is like, don't put your focus on trying to not do this or to fix that or to crush this in your flesh. Focus on me, and one day you'll wake up and that won't be there. And so what I'm trying to do, because I have, that's you good. Know, especially when we've been church a long that. Time, we have been church. So it's all about like people, places, things, don't do this, don't go
what here, we
don't
gonna say do.
That, don't look like that. And so even as we mature, like I have in levels of maturity, keep finding that, you know, there are things that I want to fix about myself. I want, you know, God, I want to fast yeah. about that and get a breakthrough in this area. And you know what I mean? And
those keywords.
No, completely.
We have all of these, you know, mechanisms that we use to try and get to those things. And so
right.
where God has me now is like stop focusing on it. Like don't put any energy in it. Don't put no time in it. Don't try and fast your way out of it. Don't look for the breakthrough.
Thank
just
you,
just wow. keep coming. Just keep that's coming. It.
Come.
And, yeah. Just keep and, coming.
And if in the coming, I speak to you specifically about a strategy to do this or do yeah. this, then do that. But if I don't speak specifically and give you something, don't try the fast you did last year to get
come
you.
On. Come on. Come on.
Don't try that 21-day fast again. Mm. You know what I mean? Don't do that.
Because I am with you.
I have tried it. Like I have definitely like done a fast. And like, well, let me, because the last time I fasted, he like spoke. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to pull this fast back and I'm going to do it again. And you don't have to say the same.
Right. Do it again, Lord.
Wow. Yeah.
And so just yeah. like.
You know, all up in my business.
Heal people. He did it in different ways. He didn't heal mm-hmm. people the same way.
Yeah.
Sometimes he spit, you know, just like he did that in the Bible. He's going to do that in your lives. And so we don't have to look for a mechanism to get it done or to get us fixed. Just be.
Thank you.
Be.
I love that.
And you're already, and this is the paradox, is you're already complete. You're already whole. It's just expanding your mind so that you can see the fullness. And then see it, you become it. Once you view the wholeness and you can see it, you're becoming it
Thank
as you
do
it. Right, so just keep seeing, just keep coming, and letting the rest will take care of itself.
Thank you.
And that's
all up in my house.
No, and she's like right there on the same page as me, like, because it's two things that God tells me, he has told me the most and still tells me the most since I've been walking with him. And that's just trust me. Early on was just trust me, but now he always says, I got you. And those, and like my foundational scriptures for that is Psalms 27 verses 13 and 14, where David said, I have fainted, at least I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He's your strength in thy heart. Say on the Lord. And those two scriptures has carried me, I should say, since I found them. He led me to them a long time ago. And maybe probably in my early in my walk, I was probably maybe about 23. When I found him, because I gave my life to him at 22, but he always tells me now, like, I got you. Like, even when I want to do something myself, even when I want to just like, and I don't know why this is happening a certain way, he always whispers to me, I got you, you know? And so just to really make it simple, he always puts in front of me the choice just to believe that I got you and let it play out or to act and then watch it fall apart.
We need another episode.
There's choices.
Yeah. Yep. So he's a, because at the end of the day, you know, he never takes my decision away. He just gives me the opportunity to make the right decision. And it's always, I got you. Just trust me.
Y'all good deed. And I'm just gonna follow with that about choices and seasons and Solomon, because it's, you know, Solomon was the wisest man. I said, but Lord, how is it that he was so wise and yet his life ended up the way it was? And he said, what I hear is because Solomon knew the right thing to do. Oh Lord, can y'all still see me and hear me? Yeah. I don't know what's going on with my computer.
Yeah, we
good on our side.
Okay, Solomon.
He said, although Solomon knew the right thing to do, because I gave him wisdom, and he had to choose the wise thing to do. And sometimes he did not choose the wise thing, even though he knew. And that's with me every single day. He lays before me life or death. If you don't want to see that head tomorrow, then why don't you just pick it up now? I mean, just simple little things. That's one thing. And so about the decisions that we have to make, in the same way God respects us in not taking our choices away. You know, he leads and he knows how to make us thirsty. He knows how to make us come to that water and drink. But he also gives us the choice to choose him. And we get to play it out all the time. But my, when Reverend Curtis said choices, and that's mine. And I have to remember or reflect on how God spoke with me at one of the very lowest points of my life, where I could hardly breathe. And he said, I heard him. That's why you got to know. You have to know the voice of God. I heard him say, fear not. I heard him. And my mouth said, how can I not be afraid? And I heard it just like I'm hearing it now. He says, because I am with you. And I mean, I was so clear. And after I heard that and I was assured, that's that blessed assuredness I could get up and do, because nothing can touch me. I can't face any situation where it has not come through God to get to me. Because he's already given me the choices, death and life, power of tongue, or he's given a word and he leaves the decision up to me. But he is always with me in the decision that I make. I don't know how all of that fits together, but at the end of the day,
it does.
God is with you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna give a personal testimony about decisions. And the wonderful thing about Jesus, and so this is why a lot of times personally, like on like my personal Instagram, I'm always talking about like God, you know, he desires mercy over judgment. And so the wonderful thing about my walk with God is that every time where I've seen the choices I've made, and even when it wasn't the choice that, you know, God was like, I want you to go this way. And I was like, I'm going left. It's never like judgmental, or I never feel ashamed about making the wrong decision. And what God has been showing me is that I remember I was in leadership at my old church with Novena, and I was in a room full of other leaders who were like older than me and more, you know, senior in our church. And God said, do something. And I was like, nigga, no, I ain't doing that. Not these old folk up in here gonna look at me crazy. Because you know, God will have you out the pocket. He'll have you do something that ain't never been done. And you like the low man on the totem pole. And I was like, Jesus, I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do today. And I didn't do it. And I didn't do it. And what he showed me, even in that, because it's not like my decision was a surprise. It wasn't like, oh gosh, I didn't see that coming. You know, he knew I wasn't going to do it. And all he said was, just keep coming.
That's all.
Like, it is not that I'm going to condemn you for not doing it. It's just keep coming so that the next time you'll feel more comfortable and confident and assured. Because it's not like you don't know my voice. You know it was me. You were just scared. But just keep coming. And just the fear will drop off.
Just keep coming.
You don't know how much I needed to hear that, because in my head, I go through that, I don't know how many times, that false sense of condemnation. If I sense that I'm supposed to be doing something and then I'm like, nah, not this time or not this time. I'm like, well, and then I have that question lingers in my mind in the moment. Like, if I don't do this, like, is this pressure? If I'm like, am I going to fall off track and God is not pleased with me? And then I'm, you know, it's this weight that I think I put on myself with that. And it's not, I'm not excusing, not to say, you know, let's not be obedient to God. Let's not listen to him.
Absolutely.
But it's just when in the moment, there are times where you just, God may be saying one thing to you and you're like, nah, I'm scared. Like you said, I'm scared.
He knows this. Yes,
I'm from this.
I don't know how so-and-so is going to react. I don't know what's going to happen if I say this or if I do this, if I step out there. And so there's this like this pressure, especially when you start to grow in God, there's this pressure like, dang, I know I'm supposed to do this. And what happens if I don't do this? Like, does the whole trajectory from there just kind of like fall off?
Right,
and, like,
derails
you. That's not
it. Yeah, it derails you. So I so appreciate you saying that. And it reminds me, also confirmation for us too, because we've had the privilege of meeting our pastor out in LA, which we have just witnessed someone being surrendered to God like we've never seen before. And to just have that example, to be able to pull on that, is just, it's shown us how God just draws you closer and closer. Like he doesn't seek to like,
keep coming.
You know, to turn you away. Like he wants to draw you. So even the when you're talking about the mercy over judgment, like it's to draw you closer into him.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's why, you know, when a church folk, you know, in church, they say, you know, when I think about the goodness of God and what
is,
they love that line. Y'all love that line.
Come on.
Y'all love. And I could growing up, I never understood how people could say that over and over again. Over, every over time somebody again. Says, somebody shouts, somebody gets up and starts running around the church. And it's like, but they said this before. Like they keep saying they're not saying it differently. They're not, you know, they're not changing the inflection of their voice. Like they're not singing it or anything. They said it the same old way, but somehow it just lights something up in you.
It just hits
and I understand that a little bit more now. So.
I appreciate, you know, what you just said, Michael, too, right? Because I had struggled with that too, you know what I'm saying? And even when I've made decisions that I shouldn't have made and just made them, and then I'm like, well, dang, you know, I did all this back here, God, but then this decision right here, I just feel like that just wiped all that out. And God told me, here's my conversation, this being transparent, here's my conversation I had with him. Because it was one day, you know, I had a day that I started off good. The day wasn't good. And I was still locked up at the time and I was in a cell. Now I was supposed to meet somebody else that afternoon for enough to give a word to him that afternoon. So I asked God to give me that word and he gave me that word. And I just fell on my knees in tears because I was like, God, after the day I had, like, how could you just turn around and give me a word like that? And I never heard, I mean, I will never forget hearing his voice. He said, because you're faithful. And that always stuck with me, that I literally had a word from God, that God put a stamp on me, right? Not another man told me nothing, that was God himself told me. He said, because you're faithful. So that always stuck with me. So at a later day and time, you know, I was asking God, I said, God, how could you call me faithful if I'm making these mistakes? And some of them is the choices that I decided to make, right?
Yeah.
How could you, you know, even still call me faithful? He said, CJ, faithfulness doesn't mean without error that you won't make a mistake. what it talks about, or what I'm saying to you, is I see you. Mm-hmm. I see your heart.
Your heart.
That's what makes you faithful. Not that you won't make a mistake. It's right. The fact that I see your heart. And, you know, it's sort of kind of like how, like an abstract painting is. You know what I'm saying? That when you see this abstract painting, it's all these things put together, but they call it art. And then some people will look at it like it's a mess, but it's really not a mess. Mm-hmm. It's really a masterpiece mm-hmm. that God is putting mm-hmm. so much of your life, all the pieces that didn't look like it,
yeah.
all in place. So it becomes masterpiece, right? Yes, so Lord. It was like, you're faithful because that's what I know about you. That's yeah. what I see. And if he knows it, then I know it. You know,
yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. Thank you for bringing so much clarity to that, because that was a question ringing as soon as you said it too. Like, how can I be faithful if I'm messing up or making mistakes? And that really touched my heart, man. I appreciate you. Amen. I appreciate you for that. Yeah.
Likewise.
Well, we're gonna have to do a part two, y'all. We're gonna
have to do that too. Yeah, I was gonna say.
I love y'all.
It is what it is. We're gonna wrap up this show, but and so. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to, you know, give everybody last words, if you will. But we have enjoyed having you guys, and we'll definitely want to get, if there is, and I'm not sure what you guys are doing or how involved you are in having people reach out to you, but if there's anything that you want to give to us that we can put out there for people to reach you, contact you, join the app, join the whatever it is you guys are doing, we absolutely want to be a support to you both. We are really excited about what God is doing in both of your lives. Like, this is history making here. I don't know what, don't know how.
We don't need that.
But I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. So, Novena, any final words?
The one thing that was standing out for me is through the last conversation we just had was God trusts us, right? With our children, and the same way that we he demonstrates his love towards us, it's the same type, it's even greater, the love that we have for our children. Like, we would never just throw our children away or chastise them so much that it breaks their spirit. You know, he is molding us, and the same way we are molding our children, you know. And just like he's teaching us, we're teaching our children. He's training us up, and we're mm-hmm. training up our children.
Yeah.
And so whenever we think of God could be a taskmaster, a heart, it's just like us being harder on our children than they deserve to be. You know. So that's all I want to say is I love you guys.
We love you.
And it's just a beautiful thing to see the two of you on this journey of faith together.
Thank you.
Faith is definitely your currency.
Amen.
Sure is.
And I'm just going to pivot off, you know, that last statement. So, you know, a dollar or a $5 bill, $10 bill, money itself, you know, when it's just in your hand, it really doesn't really truly hold any value until you use it. And once you use it, you really mm-hmm. see how much value it contains, because it obtains something for you. So what I've taken from you all tonight is that until I actively use my faith, it does not become currency. Ooh. And I don't get anything in return from it unless I use it. So the same way as a dollar cannot give me anything unless I use it, and no one really knows the value until I spend it, the same way my faith is that, and that's what I pulled from you all tonight. So I thank you for that, for just showing me to continue to use my faith so I can reap the benefit of it being spent. God bless you. I love you both. It's so good.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Final words too. What's that? Final words.
Yep. Okay, well, speaking of currency, I just want to say, are we getting a bill for this? Because y'all basically invited us on, and y'all just throwing
y'all
all these gems
us.
At us.
I done had a whole thing.
And I don't know if we talked about this being a transaction or what it was, because I feel like this shouldn't be free. Cool. But
right. Are y'all going to send us the invoice? Because we've been fed.
No, thoroughly.
I just want to go to the premiere of the pilot when it take off. Just invite
Absolutely.
Me.
Okay, invite.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, all right.
In fact, I'm just gonna be honest. I mean, you look like, I mean, you got one of those classic Tyler Perry actors looks. I'm telling
everybody
you,
oh, man. Keep throwing Tyler Perry look. Up huh? all the time.
Look. If I have no reason to be discouraged, despite whatever the situation or how long it feels like this acting journey has taken me, because I don't know how many times I've been sitting somewhere or I've been in a certain environment. Somebody said, "Hey, what? I know I saw you. I know you from somewhere. What you on? What show you been on?" So I'm like,
okay, God.
I know it's on the way. I know it's on the way.
Yeah, I know it's on the way. I know too. It's on the way. I'll be like, that's my brother, right? I know him.
Oh yeah.
Him right now.
FaceTime, call us, text us. What's up? Yes, invites in the mail.
Yeah, you got anything? But thank you so much. Yeah.
I love y'all. And I love that I feel the presence of God through each and every one of y'all. Like, again, I'm glad y'all spend time with God when nobody's watching. Amen. Because those are the moments you say something and it's like, we had that conversation yesterday. Holy Spirit, that's it. And I'm so thankful that you all even saw us worthy to be a part of what you are doing, the ministry that you're doing, the work you're doing. This platform is so powerful, and I'm grateful that we can be a part of your story and a part of your assignment. And I'm looking forward to how we'll all continue to grow and call each other on a journey. Like, I need you to show up. I need you to minister. Let's go. We got a conference. Let's put it in work. Let's go. Let's get it. This is still
Let's
just
go.
The beginning.
Amen.
Yes. This is still just the beginning.
Yes. All right. And I just want to add on to that. Just keep. You know, keep
please
this,
keep it.
Keep this going. It's I mean, I know it goes without saying, and you guys have already been doing this, but this has been so helpful for us. I didn't know what I was coming into or what I was signing up for, but I appreciate it so much. And you know, y'all's faithfulness has been just a tremendous blessing on me and my wife, and just listening to you guys pour into us. I know it doesn't come without sacrifice. I know it doesn't come without some painful situations. I know it doesn't come without some what's going on, God. So I just appreciate you guys being who you are, being who God called you to be, and doing what he's calling you to do, and just keep doing it and be encouraged on your way doing it. So thank you.
So this has been another When Christians Speak Talk Radio Bold and Beautiful podcast. We are signing off. Everyone say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, y'all.
Thanks for tuning in to our broadcast. We look forward to introducing young talent and sharing exciting stories with our listeners around the world. So if you have a gift, talent, story, or information to share with us, spoken word, poetry, book, or song to share, if you're an entrepreneur or musician, please contact us at bnbwcstr2016@gmail.com. or on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.